The Devil's Advocates radio show is broadcast under a time brokerage agreement between Devil Radio and Civic Media, Inc. Some portions of this program may be pre-recorded. Warning! You're about to listen to the greatest radio show ever, and due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the Civic Media Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
And now, here's your hosts, Dom and Kroot.
Welcome to the Thursday edition of the Devil's Advocates radio show. That makes it Friday Eve up in here, right, Dom?
Oh, you know it, Crudy. Good to see you, my friend. Rich, thank you. Working hard on the board, a fair audience. Friday Eve, baby. We're almost there.
And by there, you mean to Monday, when the trial of the new century begins. Biggest trial since the OJ trial. Trump trial 1.0 starts Monday, or at least jury selection begins on Monday.
I don't know if he filed any appeals today. I mean, he's 0-3 this week. I did not see that he made another effort today.
I had not yet seen any threats of Trump appeal today that have been bitch slapped back in his face yet by the appellate courts.
Yet. The night is young.
It is young. Dom, perhaps you took note of the fact OJ's dead.
I saw someone on our Facebook page put up quoted somebody that said something to the effect, well, I'd never want to wish a man ill, but I've read some obituaries with glee. OJ's dead.
Do you think he did it, Dom?
Well, I don't know, Crudy, but I did see from the Onion today that OJ Simpson was allowed to remain living after the coffin didn't fit. Thank you, Onion.
If it does not fit, you must acquit. I mean, it was a strange trial. It seemingly ended with jury nullification, and it sort of exposed to the greater world a television trials, Judge Ito, I mean the whole team, right?
I think it says more about
us. It made the Kardashians famous.
It says more about us than it does about them. For reals, man.
Well, I didn't watch it each and every day, but, I was a college kid. I did catch some of it, and I worked at the local TV station. I told the story of the day the verdict came down, and I was at some woman's luncheon function, and there was a lot of gasps when that verdict came down, man. The nice white ladies in Wisconsin didn't know the concept of jury nullification, but when you saw what had happened in Los Angeles, and you realize that perhaps the LA Police Department was more than willing to frame a guilty man, but more than willing to pile on, if you know what I'm saying, man. The Mark Furman and the sort, they didn't come off as to protect and to serve, let's just say, Dom.
No, shockingly, they did not.
And I see some parallels, because I think Trump's trial is going to be similarly salacious, certainly not a murder trial, not a capital trial. Hell, some claim this should be a misdemeanor trial for Trump, Dom. I jumped in. I did a little bit of research today, and I'd like to start here. And we've got a big show. We've got a fine guest coming up. Going to talk some education in the state of Wisconsin. In the 5 o'clock happy hour, our friend Dr. Tim Slucker joining at 5:30. But, Dom, want to run this parallel course. Where OJ meets Trump. I bet they've met. You got to think
in hell.
Well, Dom, what to know about Trump's New York charges in any potential sentence?
Ooh,
that's what I want to know. Is he going to jail?
Yes.
Maybe. A key element of Donald Trump's criminal trial in New York is whether prosecutors can successfully tie the specific counts against him that he doctored financial records for his companies to a more lurid election-related conspiracy for which he is not facing charges. Here's the problem. The cooking the books part, strangely, is a misdemeanor in New York, unless you're covering up some underlying crime.
Other crime, yes. If it's done in furtherance of another crime, it can be charged and was charged with a felony.
And that's not that unusual, as we will learn momentarily. The trial scheduled to begin Monday, Dom, centers on 34 counts against Trump of falsifying business records in the first degree, a felony that could result in his serving time in New York's jail complex at Rikers Island or in a state prison. Oh, make it Rikers Island. Maybe him and Weisselberg can
That's what I'm saying, man. It'll be just like the old days. I think their offices were pretty close to each other. Hell, they could be roommates, cellmates, whatever you call it.
The cellmates, I believe. The case has drawn intense scrutiny, in part because it represents the first ever criminal prosecution of an ex-president. It also involves $130,000 paid to an adult film actress ahead of the 2016 presidential election to keep her quiet about an alleged sexual encounter with Trump years earlier.
If we just pause for a moment here, and I think I have to say this. Oh, it's never been done. Oh, my goodness gracious. Ex-president being charged. Come on, man. Okay, it hasn't been done because it's been covered up and allowed in the past. Look at Nixon. Look at Reagan. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, okay. But it's not like these people have not, because all the presidents have been men, have not engaged in criminal activities in the past. So are you really, really surprised? I'm not at all, man, especially given who the former president happens to be in this case.
You know, presidents or former presidents or premiers or world leaders, they've been prosecuted all around the world. We're late to this party, man.
Yes. Yes,
really all levels of late to the party,
levels of government, all the time, in local, municipal, state, every way, shape, or form. When people break the law and they're in some facet of government, they get prosecuted. So what? So let's get it on. He's just another government employee or former.
Dominic, Manhattan District. Well, we don't know that yet. The U.S. Supreme Court still has a say, but Manhattan District Attorney Alvin Bragg. Because let's not forget this crimin before he became president and their state charges. So the U.S. Supreme Court doesn't have a say here, right?
Right.
Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg has defended his approach by saying the allegations against Trump are not out of the ordinary in the nation's financial capital and calling the charges the bread and butter of our white-collar work. Cases include instances of business owners and companies falsifying records to evade insurance payments, cover up theft, improperly securing federal loans, including from pandemic relief programs, according to Bragg's office. And Dom, they do lay out something of a fine resume here of prosecuting these sort of crimes. Across New York State, prosecutors filed charges of first-degree falsifying business records almost 12,000 times in cases arraigned in state superior criminal courts over the last decade. So 10 years, 12,000, that's about 1,200 times this is charged per year on average. So they've done this before. 100
times a month, man.
Dom, in cases arraigned in state and superior court over the last decade, according to records provided by the New York State Office of Court Administration and the Manhattan District Attorney's Office, that's Alvin Bragg's office, brought those charges in 437 cases in the decade preceding Trump's indictment. So, you know, about 43 a year, 3 to 4 a month out of Alvin Bragg's Manhattan DA office. Dom, in many instances, there were additional, more serious charges included in the indictments. In Manhattan, there were 42 cases in which falsifying records was the top charge, as it is in Trump's case, during roughly the same time period. That'd be about 10% of all the times they rolled it out this exact same way, this being the top charge. Bragg, critics contend that he has stretched legal doctrine in a way that could make it difficult to persuade jurors to convict Trump. In New York, falsifying business records is a misdemeanor, as you and I discussed, Dom, unless prosecutors can prove the defendant acted with an intent to commit another crime, in which case the charge can be elevated to a Class C felony. That's exactly what happened here, but that is the state's lowest level felony count. And according to the New York indictment, Trump sent, ironically, $420,000 to then-lawyer Michael Cohen as reimbursement for paying off Stormy Daniels, an adult film star. The money, $130,000 for Daniels, and the additional funds to Cohen was paid in a dozen installments and falsely recorded in the Trump organization's internal documents as a legal retainer.
And that's quite a premium. So the $420,000 that Cohen received, he only had to give $130,000 of it to Stormy Daniels, and he had to, what, pay off the HELOC and, you know, the financing, and what, pocket the rest. Not a bad deal. Why would you pay someone such a premium for that?
Unless because they have tax ramifications. That's the claim, Don. Prosecutors have suggested that the overall scheme was a potential violation of both federal and state elections laws, as well as state tax laws. But Trump has not been charged with any other crimes in the case, making the felonies count for falsifying business records more unusual. Daniel Hochheiser, a New York criminal defense attorney, said, if we prosecuted every corporation in New York that had a false filing or deduction for a felony, we'd have a lot of prosecutions. And that generally doesn't happen. And Trump's attorneys have said payments to Stormy Daniels were legal and made to protect Trump's family from an embarrassing disclosure. You know, a serial philanderer, Dom. Trump, the likely Republican nominee to challenge Biden in the November election, has accused Bragg, a Democrat, of pursuing legal action against him for political reasons.
Well, hang on a second. I mean, Trump's attorney said the payments to Daniels were legal. Well, they didn't pay Daniels directly. They paid the cutout. They paid off the fixer. They paid Cohen. And they gave him extra little bonus for it, plus enough money to cover the taxes. But here was something I didn't know when I was driving into the show today. I heard it on the MSNBC. The contract to detail the $130,000 initially with Stormy Daniels, well, they missed the deadline. They didn't pay it. And then the Access Hollywood tape came out. And then they reinstituted the agreement a second time, and that's when it got paid.
So it's almost like there was a new event that had happened in the electoral cycle that might motivate them to make good on the prior NDA arrangement. You know,
that they failed to do in the first place, yes.
So they weren't honorable in the deal until the forced to be, which also speaks to motive, of course.
Yes, it certainly does.
Come back. More Devil's Advocate, Dom and Crute, and you on the phones, 844-96-PARTY.
Charged, never convicted. The Devil's Advocates.
We are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. Happy Friday Eve. Join us on the lines anytime at 844-967-2789.
Dom, I want to go a little more in depth on this impending Trump trial. Man, we'll be doing nothing but talking about it. Let's make sure we understand the stakes, because this is not as important in my mind as the other potential future Trump trials that may or may not happen between now and the election day. This, the least important. But anyways, here's a quote from a legal expert in New York. I do believe that Bragg is going to be leaning very heavily on these other crimes, particularly the campaign finance crimes, and characterizing it as an attempt to interfere in the 2016 election. Although there is evidence of another crime, and that's something that's going to have to be proven out, ultimately, that's not what Trump is charged with, right? Trump is only charged with cooking the books. And former White House, Obama White House ethics advisor Norm Eisen, a Trump critic and a prominent supporter of the four felony cases against him, said, Bragg's success in keeping the case on track, despite Trump's attempts to have it dismissed, demonstrate the legal legitimacy of the charges. Because we've had a lot of pretrial motions here, right, Dom? Three this week, asking right. The judge to recuse or move the jurisdiction or whatever. Here's Eisen's statement. This is the most important books and records falsification case in the history of New York, perhaps our world. Dom, a series of court successes by the DA and his team have made clear that there are these 34 very serious felony counts of election interference. Again, they wouldn't have gone forward if they were without some precedent, right? Some evidence. Some of this has already been presented in pretrial. In a court filing in November, Assistant DA Christopher Conroy said the Manhattan Prosecutor's Office very frequently brings first-degree charges of falsifying business records. He cited a handful of cases before Bragg took office that involved defendants who were accused of falsifying records with the intent of violating federal laws. And some of those cases illustrated how the falsification charges are typically included in prosecutions involving more serious charges. And he went through a couple of them. UniCredit Bank and BNP Paribas were effectively funding countries that were under, sanctioned.
Economic sanctions, yes.
Then Cuba, Iran, Libya, Myanmar, Sudan, and Syria. And both banks pled guilty to violating sanctions as well as to lesser crimes, including falsifying business records, and agreed to pay hundreds of millions of dollars in fines.
Woo.
Authorities said the banks doctored records, including stripping information that could identify the foreign entities to disguise the financial transactions.
A little more here, Crudy. More recent cases filed during Bragg's tenure demonstrate the same point. Last year, Bragg charged the owner of a drywall company with insurance fraud, a Class B felony, and conspiracy, as well as falsifying business records for allegedly defrauding the state of $3 million in insurance premium payments related to workers' comp and disability benefits. Also last year, Bragg won the conviction of two men on charges of falsifying business records for their involvement in an $18 million insurance scam in which they underreported their payrolls to reduce insurance premiums. At the same time, two other men were convicted of insurance fraud in the first degree, a Class B felony. Legal analysts are divided over whether Trump would get jail time if he is convicted. Under New York law, a nonviolent Class E felony carries potential sentences of probation or 1 1/3 to 4 years in the state prison. Some analysts said Trump's age of 77, well, he could be in an old folks home soon, Crudy, and the lack of a prior conviction would probably preclude a jail sentence. Boo!
But what if the defendant was particularly jerky during the course of the trial, Tom? What if the guy, you know, took swipes at the judge or the judge's daughter? Would that affect the probability of an outcome of jail?
Perhaps. A little bit more here, Curtis. The New York attorney Matthew Galuzzo, a former Manhattan prosecutor, said Trump's chances of jail would increase substantially if he publicly denigrates the jury or judge and fails to demonstrate contrition for a guilty verdict. Contrition? I don't even know. Trump knows what that is. Here's what he said. If he risks jail if he loses badly, and if he disrespects the process as a witch hunt and says the judge is biased and that he didn't do anything wrong, the judge might say, fine, do 90 days in Rikers and see how you like it. Yeah, that'd be good. 90 days, but not 120. I mean, you know, as let's put him back to back. And by that time, Weisselberg, maybe he'll be out. Maybe he'll be back in. But what if, you know, Trump, he's going to be, what, on the witness list? Is Trump going to testify? Any odds on that? I say not a chance.
There are actually some speculation, I believe, in a political article, Dom, that talk about the fact that to properly defend himself, he may have to take the stand. He may.
What? How defend himself against what? He did it. I mean, I didn't want Melania to find out. Well, that's not an excuse to break the law. What's he going to get out? What's going to get up the stand and say? How would Donald Trump? I'd love to know the math here. What is?
Donald I Trump have the math. Up? Politico did the math. I have the math for you, Dom. I can lay out the math, how Donald Trump could get away with it. How he could.
Well, he could, but that my specific question, what would Donald Trump say on the witness stand in his defense?
That he was perjurious. Trying to save his beloved Melania from the embarrassment of these scurrilous accusations. And, you know, he's a rich man, so paying a woman 130 grand to not have sex with him is quite logical under the circumstances, question mark. Dom, I think the audience should know there are some legal strategies being proposed that could help Donald Trump, you know, escape serious injury in this trial. Here's a little bit from Politico. For all of Donald Trump's bluster, he faces an uphill battle to avoid conviction in his Manhattan criminal trial beginning Monday. And the fact is most criminal defendants who go to trial end up being convicted. That's very encouraging, Dom. Trump himself is also incredibly unpopular in Manhattan, and his courtroom antics in recent months have probably not endeared him to many prospective jurors in the borough. Worse still, for the former president, Judge Juan Merchan, who is presiding over Trump's criminal trial, significantly narrowed Trump's potential lines of defense in a series of pretrial rulings on legal and evidentiary issues. But Trump and his lawyers still have two robust defense strategies. One obvious, one surprising, that they can use in the courtroom to try and rebute prosecutors' charges that Trump falsified his company's business records in connection, you know, with the hush money payments to a porn star he broad-dogged, Stormy Daniels, they call her Dom, in the run-up to the 2016 election. Two robust defenses, Dom.
I mean, you got to have a defense. You can call it robust, but you got to have something.
Well, there
and
are.
And if you only have one defense, is it robust by default?
Well, there's two defenses. One, two. Now, I think the audience should know that Trump does theoretically, you know, have some defenses here. Hell, he could plead to misdemeanors and probably get away with a slap on the wrist. Come back with us. I'm going to educate you and Dom, everybody, and we can
it's
talk about it
as well.
It's too late
for Trump to plead the misdemeanors, Crudy. Now, the jury might be able to have the option. But if they don't, it's a felony. Come back.
I thought you were going to say
967-2789.
Save the $2 on tomorrow's paper. Listen to the Devil's Advocates today.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Back in the saddle. Dom, looking forward to the weekend. And I'm looking forward to the Monday jury selection and trial to follow of the former president, Donald Trump, the biggest trial since Judge Ito and OJ. I'm telling you, Dom, it's going to be big stuff.
Are you a believer, Crudy? Do you think it'll happen? I mean, all this time, I know we all want other things to go. You know how life is. Got a whole bucket full of want, Crudy, but do you think it's going to happen Monday?
Do I think the trial will proceed forward? All indications are full speed ahead, Captain. I'm feeling pretty good about the prospect of a trial. I'm feeling less strongly about the gravity of the charges. The fact that the 34 felonious charges are what the lowest level and really are only not misdemeanors because they're able to what accelerate the charge because there's an underlying crime.
Election interference. Yes.
So there's another crime. So if you cook your books to cover the dirty dealings of another crime, but that also means the prosecution has to prove the other underlying non-charged crime. So it gets a little complicated, Dom. And you got to consider who are the witnesses for the defense. And this political article, I'm not going to read it all, Dom, but a little bit here. First, watch for the defense to take a wrecking ball to Michael Cohen, the former Trump lawyer fixer and a key witness, in the hopes of taking the whole case down with him. Then there's another less explored route that Trump's team could try. Asking the judge, and you stepped all over me with this one, Dom, but let me get the punchline out.
All right.
Asking the judge to give the jury the option of convicting him on lesser misdemeanor offenses instead of the felony counts that have actually been brought by the Manhattan DA Alvin Bragg and his team of prosecutors. Now, Dom, a person familiar with Trump's legal strategy, told me that some of Trump's lawyers have quietly, albeit tentatively, considered that option in the run-up to the trial, which has not been previously reported. Trump's attorneys did not respond to a request for comment. So here's one quick quote. Anonymous, Dom. but a person supposedly familiar with Trump's legal strategy. Now, obviously, he doesn't want to be convicted at all. But
it's going to help him in the election. He'll make millions of dollars. He'll be fine.
But a misdemeanor conviction in state court in Manhattan is going to have absolutely no effect on this guy's ability to run for office or on his liberty. They're not throwing his ass in jail for misdemeanors.
No, they're not. But if you're relying on your strategy on the mercy of the judge to allow, hey, judge, you mind if we, you know, just give another option, maybe not so bad on the felonies, you know, given that he's thrown all the spaghetti at the wall so far, given that he's been ripping on the judge, given that he's been ripping on the judge's daughter, et cetera, I don't know that Mershon's going to be, you know, wanting to wheel and deal with a guy like Trump.
Well, Dom, all you really need is one angry jurist. In a criminal trial, you have to have a unanimous decision. And I cannot imagine there's going to be a unanimous decision to acquit the man. So if there is something less, one angry jurist less than a full dozen willing to convict on these charges, Dom, you get a mistrial, which is just the same as a victory for Donald Trump. So this is a complex case. And this will be...
Hang on. Complex in what regard? You got Trump's signature on the checks. You got Cohen doing
one
the
check.
You got an agreement. You got an agreement. Well, and Weisselberg.
Well, you've got a lot of circumstantial evidence, which may build up to a strong case, but it is also
recordings. You got Hope Hicks. It's not just about Cohen. And it's not about, you know, throwing your mercy on the judge to maybe allow a misdemeanor charge.
Cohen's got recordings, man. There's lots of reasons.
It's not very complicated, man. You said it's complicated. I don't think it's complicated. I think it's pretty straight up, man.
Trump wins one jurist.
What's the most complicated part of this in your mind?
The fact that it's only a felony if you prove an uncharged crime. It's something that has to be convinced. And one exceptional jurist, one that says, hell no, or I'm a MAGA, I'm never going to get there from here, can throw this whole thing out the window, Dom. So, yes, I would love to see a very strong case laid out. I would love to see the very convincing testimony of perhaps Hope Hicks, because Michael Cohen, I think, is a, you know,
Hope Hicks, David Pecker,
easily impeached.
My understanding, also another employee from American Media, whatever the David Pecker's organization that owned the magazines, another employee as well. It's not just going to be the fixer. There's going to be other folks involved. And David Pecker, of course, being the point man on the catch and kill, right? He was convicted of election interference, you know, by doing the catch and kills. So, you know, the other crimes are all there, man. Same with
Cohen. You're counting on convicted felons and people that have come from jail to be your star witnesses in the trial of a former president who should be beyond reproach.
When you're dealing with mob trials, you don't get to choose who the folks are, man. This is what you're dealing with.
But it does add to the complexity of the conviction, which you...
I mean, you keep saying that word. I don't know if you know what it means. There's no complexity, man. No matter what cases, you could always have a mega Trumpster never.
So bet your house and the farm.
How easy it is or how complex it is.
So you're betting your life savings on the conviction at trial here because it's so simple and straightforward and there's no complexity.
I mean, I don't think it's very... Come on, man. There's receipts. What are you talking about?
You ever hear OJ? You ever hear jury nullification? I mean, I was sitting there the day the white women were clutching their pearls, shocked. Fit,
you must acquit.
Well, I'm
the
not
gloves
sure.
Fit Trump, man.
Well, you keep saying that, but, you know, could be swollen up, gout or something. 844-967-2789.
Let's get to it. Bob from Madison, you'll be first. Welcome, Bob. What do you got today?
Hey, Bob.
Oh, okay. I'm just fed up with the Democrats in Washington, D.C. Marjorie Taylor Greene is threatening to get rid of Mike Johnson, but it's an empty threat. Without Democratic votes, she has no chance. The margins are so
close.
No,
Bob, that's not the case. All she needs is a couple other Republicans, maybe, I don't know, number three, four, in order to...
She'll never get 100% of all the Republicans. Look at
she doesn't need.
Look at all the
they can force
Ukraine aid.
Bob, they can
one of those get one of those Ukraine aid people in as a bargain, back him with the Democrats, and you can get rid of Mike Johnson.
I'm not clear that all those things play out the way you would hope that they would, Bob. Mike Johnson and the action being taken by Marjorie Taylor Greene is a move to vacate the speaker's chair. And they have set themselves up, Bob, that they don't need the entire caucus to force the vacation of the speaker's chair. I mean, it was Matt Gaetz and a handful that did it the last time.
To force the vote.
Then comes the question of, well, who is the speaker then? Who does have the sufficient number of votes, right? We've been through this a number of times. That would be pure chaos again. And I think it would be nothing but the Republicans to blame. But I'm not clear what we as Democrats are supposed to do except take our popcorn and watch. You know, we would and we should be supportive of the push through of Ukraine aid. I wasn't exactly clear what you were telling me there, Bob. Yeah, I think we should, if we need to, partner with Speaker Mike Johnson and push this through. But man, they can't even get FISA renewed. Know what I mean? The FISA courts, and I'm with Russ Feingold on this. You know, 99-1, well, I was standing with Russ. I'm against the FISA courts. But I find myself standing now with Matt Gaetz and a number of the crazies that are blocking what has been a surefire renewal each and every time, the FISA courts. Well, anyways, man, I thought we were talking about the Trump.
A lot to unpack there. There's different parts of the FISA, my understanding, as far as, you know, government surveillance of foreign entities, knock yourself out. When that gets turned on us as citizens and individuals in a self-governing society, I have a little bit more of a problem with that. To force the motion to vacate, she's going to need a few folks to do that. Maybe she can get a few. The question is then, okay, now you do a vote on it. And if, as Curtie mentioned, the Dems want to partner up with Mega Mike to actually do some governance, I would encourage that. I mean, or if there's not a case, he brings something to the floor or doesn't bring it to the floor, they could certainly, you know, join them as well and kick him out too. So I think, you know, there's a lot of moving parts to that, Bob. But at the end of the day, the Democrats in the legislature do not have the power to pull the strings. That's all on the Republican side, and they can't even get their ducks in a row.
844-967-2789. Our pal, the original Claire. How you doing, Claire?
Hey, Claire, what's happening?
Hi, Devils.
Hello, how Claire.
Can we go back to Trump?
Yes.
Yeah.
My dream is to see a picture of him in Rikers.
A mugshot's not enough?
No. I want to see the bars, baby. But I have a question for you guys.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If he gets locked up in Rikers or wherever, is he still going to get Secret Service protection?
That's a great question, Claire. Once he's a convicted felon, I'm not sure what we as a nation should do with a convicted felon. I mean, I don't think the guy should get shanked in the showers. But on the other hand, you know, they're going to have some sort of protective custody for this guy the rest of his life. What I don't want to see is he becomes some sort of Imelda Marcos imprisoned at Mar-a-Lago. That is not prison.
No, absolutely
well,
not.
No golfing, no say, use of the tennis courts, no use of the pool.
You know what I mean? It might be a prison for her, Claire.
Melania, all Melania cares about is no conjugal visits.
All right, Claire, thanks for the call, sister. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789. Isaac from Georgia. Welcome, Isaac. What do you got today?
Hey, you guys said that this Trump thing is the biggest trial since OJ's. I was just wondering how you guys felt about OJ Simpson's death, and how does that relate to Trump or his trial?
Well, I'm ambivalent about the man's death because he's a murderer, and if not convicted at trial, he was convicted at civil trial. He was found, you know, financially responsible for the death of.
Don't forget, he would try to go and rob and get some of the memorabilia back, and, like, you know, kidnap folks, and he got convicted of some other.
Did like 9 years of 33 years. So
I think Isaac, I think it compares in the sense that it was such a show. the OJ trial. I mean, you couldn't get away from it. It was on every day, all the time. And I think in some regards, that's what this, and this is the start. This is the first trial. I would imagine there will be others, Isaac.
This will not be televised, though. Not in the same way that Ito lost control of his courtroom. It became very performative during the OJ trial. And, you know, but I think from the public interest point of view, is anything bigger than the trial of Trump? I think there is a parallel there. I mean, again, certainly, it's not capital crimes. It's class F felonies, you know, cooking the books to cover up an underlying crime.
It's a nice appetizer. It's a nice way to warm up, stretch out a little bit before you get the really big ones coming down. And get people to kind of get used to seeing, you know, the guy in a courtroom finally maybe being, you know, hold to account for all his criming.
Let me express my greatest fear. He gets off, or it's a mistrial, or they pled down to misdemeanors, or give the jury the option to slap him on the wrist and not convict him of the more serious felonious charges against him. Because that comes away as a victory, a vindication of the man. Now, he's going to spend a conviction as a vindication. His son Eric said, every time my dad walks in a courtroom, he makes millions of dollars, probably in donations from his, you know, his fearless followers. Let's call him that for the moment. But I am concerned that this is not the trial that I would certainly want to lead with. And if we only get one, why not one of the January 6th trials? Why are we dealing with paying off a porn star from 2016?
Putting off installing and all these things. And we get what we get, man. Anytime you go to court, there's no guarantee of anything, not conviction or vindication, right? That's always going to be the case. But this is what we got, man. These are the cards we are dealt. We move forward. It's out of our hands. It will be in the jury's hands. And I think there's enough evidence there that to convince anybody that he is guilty. Folks, come back with us, 844-967-2789.
You're listening to the radio show your mother warned you about, The Devil's Advocates.
Yeah, thank you for listening to The Devil Advocates Radio Show. Feel free to join us on the lines, 844-967-2789. What's the bigger trial, the OJ or the Trump? Crudy, the asking of the judge to allow the misdemeanor, a little bit from political on that angle of it, besides going after Cohen and beating the hell out of him and hopefully that he drags the entire case down. The other strategy to, I'll just read it, more unorthodox and counterintuitive, but it could scramble the legal and political dynamics of the case. Prosecutors charged Trump with no misdemeanor offenses, only felonies. But at the close of trial, Trump's team is allowed to ask the judge to give the jury the option of convicting him instead on the lesser included misdemeanor offenses of falsifying business records. This unusual strategy sometimes makes sense for defendants and defense lawyers in limited circumstances, in particular when they believe that jurors may have reservations about the strength of the government's case, when they believe that the jury might nevertheless be reluctant to fully acquit the defendant on trial, perhaps because he's wildly unpopular in the jurisdiction, and when they want to give the jurors the option to compromise by convicting the defendant on lesser offenses instead of the most serious charges. Under New York law, the defense can make this request at any point before the jury gets the case for deliberation. The judge is supposed to then determine whether there is a reasonable view of the evidence that indicates the defendant committed the lesser included offenses, but not the greater ones. That'll be interesting for Mershon. But in Trump's case, the argument would be that jurors could reasonably conclude on the basis of the evidence that Trump committed the misdemeanor offenses of falsifying his company's business records, but not the charged felony offenses, which require prosecutors to establish that Trump intended to commit or conceal another crime. Of course, that crime would be election interference, of which his cohort, David Pecker, went to prison or fined or prison. I'm not clear. I'll have to look that up. And I believe Cohen also as well. Other folks involved in this were already convicted of similar things.
Also, from the political coverage, Dom, ultimately, it's highly unlikely that Trump would be outright acquitted. All the jurors would need to agree to acquit him. But what if Trump's lawyers can persuade one or more of the jurors to refuse to convict him? That would result in a mistrial and a de facto victory for Trump. And I know you say this is so straightforward and everyone's going to see it the way that Alvin Bragg sees it, Tom. But I would say, again, you didn't even charge him with the crime, the underlying crime. I'm not clear why that would be the case. Why not double down on the indictments? Why not make it clear what you think the crime is and then lay out the case for that as well? So, knowing that it only takes one rando, one angry juror.
That's always the case in every criminal trial.
But what is what's going to happen if that is the case, Tom? What if this becomes a de facto victory for Trump and it is the only trial?
Then it becomes a de facto victory for Trump.
And what if it helps sweep him into re-election because there is no next trial between now and the election? And if he wins re-election...
Not as of today, on April 11th.
There is no scheduled trial between now and Election Day except for this one. And if this one somehow vaunts him as the victor, even in the eye of the public, effectively, this could help sweep him into re-election, Dom. And if he wins re-election, all the other trials, they're going away. Because he's going to gut the Department of Justice. He's going to fire the special prosecutor. And effectively, no state is going to go forward, certainly not with the Fani Willis, after he's the president again. So it's one shot, and this is the shot, and it's all going to come down to one angry juror. And if that is the case, Tom, this could be the event that pivots and swings him back to victory. Right. So yeah, I am quite concerned that this is more complex.
That's the very obvious.
But you act like there's no chance that that could possibly happen.
I'm not acting like there's no chance, man. I'm just saying that's the same amount of chance of any other criminal trial. I'm not acting like there's no chance. It's always the case, Crudy. It's always the case. And in this particular case, while there are other things lined up, we don't know what's going to happen. Chutkan was supposed to be out of country in August, but if the Supreme Court has hearings at the end of this month and they release their decision the end of June, she gives the guy a couple of months, boom, boom. There could be a trial hitting up July, August, September?
Are you betting on something hitting the trial calendar?
Listen, here's what I'm telling you. It's out of our hands. But what I'm not going to do is say, oh my God, Bragg, don't bring the charges. Of course you bring the charges. You bring the charges when you're ready to bring the charges. You go to court when you're ready for court. And the goal's in the jury's hands. That's why we have the system of laws and government that we have. Is it possible? You're damn right it is. Is it likely? I don't think so.
844-967-2789. Your self-confidence, so infuriating some days. Jim from Racine. Welcome, Jim. What do you got for us?
Hello, Jim.
A slogan for you. When I was a kid, cigarettes were with the LSMFT meant Lord... Lucky Strike means fine tobacco. There should be a new meeting. Lord, save me from Trump.
I like that acronym, Joe.
Lucky Strikes, man. Trump might be smoking those in the pen. Jim, what do you think on Monday? You think it's going to start? And how do you think this is going to pan out?
I don't know. Boy, I tell you, I'm going to be 85, and I'm so sick of listening to Trump. Oh, boy, talk about... I say, if the good Lord's ever coming, he better come soon, because everything's sure going to hell.
Come on, Jim. Stick around. We're going to need your vote at least by this November, man. You got to stay alive through the summer, brother.
I don't know saw, Jim, but numerologists, as reported by Foxy News Digital, say the rapture's coming April 23rd.
April 23rd? Oh, man, it's coming quick.
That could be the greatest day ever. All those crazy righties? They'd be gone. They'd be lifted up. Right? I mean,
hey, you know how it is, man. If heaven is paradise and glory awaits, don't let me stop you.
Heaven is a place on earth. If all the righties were gone, raptured up. We're cheering for you, righties. We want you to be raptured up. We're also cheering for all of you to stick around and join us. Always better when you do at 844-967-2789. Coming up at the 5 o'clock, happy hour. Got to find educator, Dr. Tim Slecker. Some new education stuff out of the great state of Wisconsin. Guess what? Teachers ain't getting paid like they used to.
No, man. Bad
They're down
news.
Almost 20% in compensation. Tim's going to tell you it's becoming a crisis. We'll talk to him at 5:30, but between now and then, you on the phone, start dialing us up. 844-967-2789. 63% of the time, we're right every time. Less so for Don.
I think we need to do a new study. It might be up to 70. I'm telling you.
You're down to like 13%.
I've been on a roll, man. I've been on a roll.
You're down there with congressional approval ratings. More Devils.